Okay, so I'd like to do a little bit of an introduction to the inyan of the Kidashto, and we speak about the Bechira of the Shevet Kahuna, which really, by extension, is the Shevet of Levi. And we have to begin from the Chumash. We get a nice overview of Sukkim and Chumash that highlight the uniqueness of Shevet Levi, and as a derivative of that, also the Shevet HaKohuna. We see the relationship between the Bechira of the Kohanim, the Bechira of the Levim, starting off from the Chumash, and then we'll move on to Mefarshim, and also Diyukim and the Rambam, as far as we can get today, and then we'll be able to get into more nitty-gritty. It all starts from the Chumash in any case, and any sugyas that you're going to learn that discuss details regarding the avoda of the Kohanim, the avoda of the Levim, and their adrashis and their halachis are always anchored in Chumash, and we oftentimes overlook the basics. So even though some of it may sound simple and pashut, it's kedai for ourselves to review and to chazer and to just fill in gaps that we might have. So I gave it an order of the parshas in Chumash, and I'm just going to highlight quickly some of the psukim, just to know what they say and where they're written, and then as we go along, we'll also mention some of the nekudas that come out of Rashi and Mefarshim, and then we'll get beyond that into some more of the nitty-gritty lumdis and so on, and then eventually the Yukim, the Rambam, and things like that. Okay, so the first reference, Parshas Yisro. Now, we could have quoted, which I didn't, debating whether I should have mentioned it, but we might as well say it now. Klal Yisrael as a whole are called Mamleches Kohanim. That's a famous pasuk in the introductory words before we get to the actual day of Matan Torah. There's communications mentioned in the Chumash that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael. So the idea that Klal Yisrael are known as Mamleches Kohanim, that's a pasuk that we'll read not too long ago in Shavuos. And Rashi teaches on that pasuk. You'll see it here in Perek Yutes. And it's pasuk hey, Mamleches Kohanim Sarim. That's what Rashi says the meaning of Kohanim is Sarim. The word Kohen actually is found in Sefer Bereishis as well a couple of times. You have it in the story of Yosef and Mitzrayim, Admas HaKohanim Lo Kana. It mentions also Potiphar being Kohen Own. Okay, but now we're talking about Kohuna with regard to Klal Yisrael. And so you have Mamleches Kohanim as Klal Yisrael known as. Okay, but then I have another pasuk that I think we should focus on. Again, in terms of preparing for Matan Torah, it's pasuk Chabez in that same parak, when Hashem tells Moshe that everyone has to be stationed where they are. Begam hakohanim hanigoshim al Hashem yiskadoshu, pen yifrots b'hem Hashem. So it refers to kohanim, again, whether it means sarim or misharsim, different ways to define the word. They are the ones who are approaching Hashem. They shall be readied and prepared, and not to go beyond where they're allowed to go. Who exactly are the Kohanim? So there are different interpretations. Rashi here quotes one of the interpretations in the Gemara, referring to the Bechoros. So keep that in mind, because we're going to discuss in a few minutes the relationship between the Avodah being done by the Bechorim and then the Tachlif, the switching to the Levim. So this is, of course, before Chet HaEgel, and it's in terms of Matan Torah. And Rashi says, the Kohanim are the Bechorim. The other pasuk, a little further on, so we have this actually in Parshas Mishpatim, but it's describing the events of Maimon HaSinai, Matan Torah, talks about karbanos that are brought. This is at the end of Mishpatim in Perek Chav Dalid, and as part of the Krisus Bris of Matan Torah, we have karbanos that were brought by the Narei Bnei Yisrael. You look in Perek Chav Dalid, Pasuk Hey, so Moshe Rabbeinu had built the Mizbeach, and it says that he sent the Narei Bnei Yisrael to offer karbanos, olos, and shlamim. Who are the Narei Bnei Yisrael? Rashi, consistent with what we saw before, says they are the Bechoros. In other words, that those who offered karbanos at the time of Matan Torah were the Bechorim. Now, the alternative pshat that you mentioned, as mentioned in Gemara and Zvachim, has to do with Nadav and Avihu, the children of Aaron, which are actually mentioned explicitly in the pasuk in Mishpatim, a few pesukim earlier, the Moshe Amar Alei Hashem Ata VeAharon Nadav VaAvihu. So the elder sons of Aaron are mentioned uniquely obviously, that they are seen as being distinct and have a unique status. According to one pshat in Gemara Zvachim, the reference to Kohanim HaNigashim HaShem is actually Nadav and Aviv. But Rashi goes with the other opinion, it goes on the Bechorim, which again makes sense because this is before the Bechorim were disqualified, which is Chet HaEgel. Keep that in mind. Let's now notice the following. So we have Matan Torah, then we have Parshas of Truma Tetzaveh. Truma Tetzaveh talk about the Mishkan and also about the Big Day Kohuna for the Kohanim. And the Torah talks about you make Big Day Kodesh La'aron Ulevanav. And it says in the beginning of Tetzaveh, Aaron Nadav Aviyu Elazar V'Isamar B'nei Aharon. And you have a number of references in Parshas Tetzaveh to the unique Kedusha of the B'nei Aaron, Aaron and his children. If you look a little further, as I gave you, I'm going the order of what I gave you here in the Marmakomos. So further on in Perek Chavtes, because in the second half of Tetzaveh, after the discussion of how to make the Big Day Kohuna, you have the preparation days that we call the Yemei HaMiluim, which are the initiation for Aaron Ubanav to serve ultimately in the Mishkan. So there are karbanos that are brought by Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron Ubanav were the bailim of those karbanos. And Moshe would take the blood, and he had to put it in different parts of the body of Aaron Ubanav. Aaron Ubanav would be consuming the meat of the karbanos, those that are to be eaten. So here is a pasuk I gave you toward the end of that section, Chaf Tes and Lamed, and it says over there, Big Day Hakodesh Asher La'ar Yuvanav Acharav L'Mashcha V'Hem Malev Ames Yadam. What this shows is that already now, when the Torah is describing the Yemei HaMiluyim and describing the Big Day Kohuna, there's already a vision for the continuity of this. This is not just Aaron Ubanav, it is to be continued, Tachtav Nibanav, whoever is going to serve. That's what you see in the Pasuk over here. And if you go a little further in the Parasha, it says in Pasuk Mem Dalid, Perek Chavtes, the Ki Dashti Es Ol Ma'oy Bes HaMizbech, Bes Aaron Bes Banav HaKadosh L'Chahen Li. So we have the idea that Aaron Ubanav are already chosen. Now, we should have in mind something interesting, and that is the actual chronology. This is very relevant, and we'll elaborate on this in a little bit. Because, you see, Parshas of Truma Tetzaveh are written right after it says at the end of Mishpatim that Moshe Rabbeinu ascends for 40 days and 40 nights. Then you go into Parshas Kisisa, and the beginning of Kisisa, you have some more details relating to the Mishkan. Talks about the Machzis HaShekel, talks about the making of the Kior, the manufacturing of the Shemen HaMishcha and the Ktores, talks about the selection of Bezalel to serve as the main architect, the one who oversees the building of the Mishkan. And it also mentions Shabbos, observance of Shabbos. And after that, you get to Sheni in Kisisa. Here we are in Perek Lamed Beis, right before Perek Lamed Beis. So you have this pasuk right after Sheni. It's really a new story. This is where it begins to talk about the Chet HaEgel. So the pasuk is Vayiten al Moshe kechagosa davito v'asinai. Hashem has given Moshe the luchos rishonos, and then it goes on to describe the tragic story of the Chet HaEgel. So if you were to read the Torah normally, chronologically, you would assume that the tzivui of the Mishkan, Truma Tetzaveh and the first Aliyah of Kisisa, was said to Moshe Rabbeinu upon his initial ascent to HaSinai, after the Maimed HaSinai, the experience of the Aseres HaDibros, which would have meant that all of this was given to Moshe before the Chet HaEgel. Notice, if that is true, and that is how, for example, the Ramban assumes to be the case, then you would notice that the selection of Aaron Ubanav, the Kohanim, and it seems also to suggest the continuity of that, Tachtav Ibanav, that was already preordained, predetermined, even before the Chet HaEgel. Okay? Now, Rashi, on the other hand, has a different way of reading the order of the parashas. Rashi, and you look at the famous Rashi, you might as well highlight the Rashi now, in Pasuk Yud Ches. So you have the Pasuk, says, Vayiten al Moshe. This is now the Torah going to the story of the Chet HaEgel. Ein mukta mulcha b'Torah. Masa egel kodem utziv mlechas ha-mishkan yamim rabim haya. Rashi says, the Chet HaEgel preceded the tzivu mlechas ha-mishkan. In other words, the parshas Truma Tetzaveh and the first Aliyah of Kisisa were not said until after, subsequent to Chet HaEgel. Rashi's shita is that the Mishkan was only necessary as a kapara for Chet HaEgel, only became necessary in the wake of Chet HaEgel, in which case one can certainly assume, or suggest at least, that the chosenness of Aaron Ubanav didn't really come into being right away at Matan Torah, but rather only in the wake of Chet HaEgel. Now, we have to see exactly how the timing works out, and we'll talk about the Kohanim and the Levim, but we should already notice that according to the Ramban, you see that there was a selection of Kohanim even before Chet HaEgel, because the parashas are Keseder. Okay, what else did I give you here? The following, a very important piece of the story of Chet HaEgel, which is going to be very relevant for the selection of Shevet Levi, and this is going to be a pasuk mefurish later on in Devarim, but the storyline is over here. After Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and sees the tragic situation of the Chet HaEgel, he shatters the luchos, and he has to do a lot of things to begin to deal with the crisis at hand. Pasuk says here in Paragamid Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chavav, Moshe stands up, Bishar HaMachaneh, he has to do something, because there was a real vacuum in the wake of how things had played out. Vayom Emil Hashem Eloi, he calls out, who's to come to me for Hashem? Vayoslov Kol B'nei Levi. So B'nei Levi, they were not party to Chet HaEgel, and they respond to Moshe's call, and Moshe gives them a summons. He invites them to take the law, you could say, into their own hands, and to slay the Ovdei HaEgel, Simu Ishchaba Yerecho, to go from gate to gate and to actually execute even people who these Levim were related to. Now, obviously, they could not be related through the father, because we assume that B'nai Levi were all innocent of Chet HaEgel, but it means they were obviously related in some way, half-siblings and so on. And they did so, and they killed 3,000 people, and they are praised for this, as we'll see in soon the Pasuk in Zos HaBracha. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes the following comment to them, Pasuk Chavtes. By doing what you just did, you have initiated yourself into a new role. And this is something that's going to be playing out that we read in Parshas Bamidbar. Vayomer Moshe, milu yetchem hayom l'Hashem. That means milu yetchem is, of course, the idea of Miluyim, to become initiated. We had the Yimei HaMiluyim referring to the Kohanim and what they did for the 7 days, being part of the Karbanos and eating the Karbanos that were offered by Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a Milu Yetchem Ayom, you're Mischanech, as Rashi titles the words, Milu Yetchem Atem Ahorgim Osam B'davisa Tischanchu Lios Kohanim L'makom. Now, it says Kohanim, again, we're talking about Shevet Levi as a whole. But it's also possible, again, Rashi Lishitaso, it could conceivably be that the whole the selection of Kohanim, which is Trumat Tzava, also only became a selection in the wake of Chet HaEgel. For Ramban, on the other hand, apparently they don't go together. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you will be Tischanech Lios Kohanim L'makom because of what you've done, to Lassu Yisalichem Hayom Brach. Question so far, go ahead.
Wouldn't it be the opposite? Didn't we say earlier for Rashi has already predetermined before Chet HaEgel?
The opposite. According to the Ramban, if the parashas are Kisidvan, then it comes out even before Chet HaEgel, there was already a predetermined role for Kohanim, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, and so on. According to Rashi, the order of the parashas is Ein Mukdam Ucha. So then it could be that the Kohanim were not chosen until after Chet HaEgel, because Trumat Tzava came after Chet HaEgel. Okay. But meanwhile, it says that the B'nai Levi became initiated through what they did. Now, a little bit more here just to get the lay of the land with the Pesukim. Yes?
So it's not mashma that all Levim that came from Mi Hashem Elai, aren't they all going to be considered Kohanim?
It doesn't say Kohanim. It says, Rashi's Lush is Kohanim L'makom. But again, Kohanim is a loose word. Kohanim is used, as we said before, Mamlechas Kohanim. We have the word Kohen in Sefer Bereishis too. It could be, though, Rashi is Bediyo, because it's very possible, since according to Rashi, the Kohanim themselves, that the Torah describes in Tetzava, the role of Aaron Ubanav, only was given after Chet HaEgel. So it very well could be that the act of what B'nai Levi did in Chet HaEgel is also the initiation for Kohanim too.
Okay.
But it's only Aaron's kids that end up being Kohanim.
That's correct, because there's so obviously this, because there's still going to be a further selection. And Mitzvah Shem will get to this idea. There's a Havdalah of Shevet Levi, and there's a further Havdalah of the Kohanim from that. We'll see the Goshonas of the Rambam, the Gemara and Pesachim. I hope to get to some of that in a little bit. There's really two levels of Havdalah. The Kar Yisrael are comprised of three units, like the Gemara says in Shabbos Peches, Amatrisoi. There's Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. But the way to think about it is that the Levim is already one Havdalah, and then there's a further Havdalah of Kohanim even from that. This is obviously all Pashas Korach is revolving around this to some extent. The Levim wanted more. Right, they chant the Kashtem Gam Kohuna, Moshe Rabbeinu pushes back to Korach, right? But the point is that how do we understand the nature of the selection process? So if Cheta Egel disqualified the Bechorim, so and the Bnei Levi who came responded were the ones who, as a result of this, they were initiated. So what does that mean about the Kohanim? What does it mean about specifically Nadav and Aviu and Elazar Summer, for example? This is the question. Once I'm speaking, I'll tell you a cute story that the Rav Schwab, Zachar Tzatzal, used to say over. He spent a Shabbos in the company of the Chavetz Chaim in the year 1930, Tafresh Tzadi, and he learned a lot over the course of the Shabbos and the many conversations he had. One of the things that he liked to share, this is written in the Mayim Beis HaShaleva, and I heard it from him once, or maybe more than once. I spent summers together with him many years ago. So he told the story that the Chavetz Chaim turned to him and said that, are you a Kohen? So I said, he said, no, I'm not. He says, you know why you are not a Kohen and I'm a Kohen? It's Omer a Kohen, right? The Chavetz Chaim is a Kohen. Do you know why? The answer is because when Moshe Rabbeinu called out after Chetei Gomir Hashem Elai, my Elta Zeda responded to that call. And your great-great-great-grandfather did not. That's why I'm a Kohen and you're not. And there was a message, obviously, he wanted to impart that when there's a need, you got to come in and step up to the plate. So the story, obviously, is a true story, but it also speaks to the idea of Kohanim also, because the Chavetz Chaim was a Kohen. So the Bechira of Shevet HaKohuna, which by extension is Levi, but also the Kohanim, is all anchored in the story of Mila Shem Elai. That's at least what the story seems to suggest. Yeah.
Do we have a reason why the Ramban, according to the Ramban, there would be a change from Bechoros to Kohanim?
So, clearly, Shevet Levi, right? Shevet Levi was stepped in through what they did. Now, the actual transfer with Sinsi is not happening till Pashas Bamidbar with the Mishkan. But the underpinnings of that, you could say, is what happens in the work of Chet HaEgel. The disqualification of the Bechorim is a result of their Chet in the part of Chet HaEgel. But what you also see in the Ramban is that at least the Aaron Ubanov had already been chosen. Pashtus, that would also mean that the children as well. Otherwise, you assume only Aaron Ubanov, Ki'ilu, and then there would have been Bchorim together with Aaron Ubanov. I suppose you could make that case. But Pashtus, we throw the Lashna Pasuk into Tzadva, Tachta Mibanov. It sounds like there's a notion of continuity of Kahuna even before Chet HaEgel. That's what it would seem to me from the Ramban.
So why does he switch?
No, so the Shevet HaLevi, so it would have been Bechorim. You could say like this, the Bechorim would have been what Shevet Levi is to the Kohanim, Bechorim would have been to the Kohanim for the Ramban. But, or I could say maybe more than that, maybe the Bechorim would have also been able to do Avoda, so Levim can do Avoda. So it could be that the Kohanim would do Avoda and Bechorim could do Avoda. It could be like that. But, and maybe they also could do what Shevet Levi did. I don't know. It's hard to say for sure what would have been without Chet HaEgel. But you do see that the Kohanim already were defined in their role because the Tzivoy was before Chet HaEgel to make Big Dekuhun. But we'll see more about some of the details soon. So this is Parshas Kisisa. Let's go to a few more Parshas in order of the Chumash. Parshas Pekudei. At the end of, we're talking Perek Mem now. So this is the time of Shivat Yimei Miluyim that's being described, and the Mishkan is soon going to be all ready. So look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hashem is telling Moshe, on the first of the first month, you're going to set everything up, and Moshe is being told all different things that he's to be doing to get everything in order, put everything where it belongs. And it says, as part of this, you should bring Aaron Ubanov to Pesach HaMoed, and you should dress Aaron. This is similar to what we saw in Tetzaveh. dress him, umashachta oso, you anoint him with the shemen amishcha, v'kidashta oso v'chiyem li, v'esban av takrib, v'lbashta osam kutanos. And this is, of course, after Chet Ha'egel, but it's the idea of the anointing of Aaron, ubanav, umashachta osam kashem mashachta saviyem, v'chiyanu li, v'haysa liyos lehem mashchasa m'chunas alo medorosa. Now, again, you know, the Ramban, there's a comment, I don't have it on your sheets, but I'll give it to you. I remember it from Pashas Akev, that the Ramban emphasizes that when Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, he realized something, that even though there was a Chet Ha'egel, and you know that Aaron was part of Chet Ha'egel, right? He was, he sort of was involved, more than involved. Again, he had, his kavana was good, but obviously he still had, unfortunately, on his record, having contributed to Chet Ha'egel. And Moshe Rabbeinu needed to hear that Aaron Ubanav were back in Hashem's good graces, that there's going to be service in the form of the Kohanim and their descendants. So it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu knew this originally, but because it was a Chet Ha'egel, Moshe Rabbeinu needed to know from Hashem that everything's back to where it needed to be. So, for example, that there had to be a Mishkan. There was originally a tefillah for the Mishkan, but Moshe Rabbeinu needed to be again told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're back where we were before. And so to be here regarding Aaron Ubanav. This is what Ramban says in Pashas Eikev. But again, it emphasizes already here, this is before the initiation of the Mishkan, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this is when Hashem is saying that you're going to anoint Aaron Ubanav and the Meshicha will anoint them for the children afterwards to be also Kohanim. Again, keep this in mind because Leviim, it seems to be there was a different timeline. The disqualification of the Bechorim took place in the wake of Chet Ha'egel, but the initiation of the Leviim, we'll see exactly how that's going to be playing out. This is the end of Parshas Pekudei. Okay, we get to Sefer Vayikra. So in Parsha Tzav, in the second part of Parsha Tzav, we have the implementation of the Miguyim. Parsha Tzav, we had the Sivui of the Miguyim. And now we have in Parsha Tzav, Hashem tells Moshe, get everybody together, and you're going to have Aaron Ubanav in Chatzah Omoed, and you're going to get them dressed, and you're going to offer these, and take the Shemna Mishcha, and it talks about doing it to Aaron. At the end of the parasha, it talks about, again, taking the Shemen HaMishcha and putting on the Begadim of Aaron Ubanav. You can take a look at the end of Parasha Tzav. And this is Moshe carrying out the specific mitzvos associated with the Miguyim. Again, there are some interesting fine details which we don't have time to delve into in terms of lining up what's described here and what's described in Tetzaveh and Pekudei, but that's beyond what we can do right now. This is Parshas Tzav. Parshas Shmini, you have the actual day of the Akamas HaMishkan, which was Karbanos brought by Aaron, and on behalf of himself, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and that occasion was marred by the death of Nadav and Avihu, right? And then you have there Moshe Rabbeinu telling them that they should still continue to remain in Olam Moed, and not mourn like everybody else. And then the pasuk says here, Yud Zayin Pesach Olmod Lo Seitzu Pentamusu Kishem and Mishchas Hashem Aleichem. So again, you see, any way you turn, when you're talking Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Yom HaKamas HaMishkan, there is a certain status has already been endowed on Aaron Ubanav at this point. They had the 7 days of Miluyim, where they had the Shem HaMishcha, and then even being told right now, Kishem and Mishchas Hashem Aleichem. Okay, Parshas Emor, of course, is one of the famous headquarters for Kiddushas Kohuna. The famous Pasuk B'Kidashta we'll be talking about, but all the details about who the Kohanim can and can't marry, and the Kohen Gadol even more restrictive, and the fact that they can't be Tamei Lameis, this is all described. We don't have to go through all the Pesukim inside, but you see how the Torah emphasizes there the Vahayu Kodesh, Kiyaslech Melkechu Makriv, the role of the Kohanim that says Kohanim all the time by Parshas HaKorbanos. The Chiper of a Kohen and so on and so on. Here it's talking about the halachos that specifically pertain to the Kohanim, Kedoshim Yilei Lokeim, And again, Kikadosh Hu Elokah, V'Kidashto, everybody has to Mithyachis to the Kohanim in a special way. This is Parshas Amor. Back to Levian, Parshas Bahar. So there's some halachas that are specific to Levian. And here's the first time I believe the Torah mentions that the Levian don't have their own Nachla and Eretz Yisrael. We're going to see that a lot in later Psukim. But here in Parshas Bahar, tucked away, Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel. So it's talking about halachos, for example, of when you can redeem a field and when you can redeem a house that you sell in Eretz Yisrael. So typically a field can be redeemed after 2 years. A house, on the other hand, can be in a walled city, can be redeemed for a year, and that's it. And after that, it stays by the buyer. So then it talks about the case of a Levian. And it says here, in Lamed Beis Lamed Gimel, V'arei ha-Levian, bate arei achuzasam, ge'uras olam tira Levian. The Levian always have the right to redeem what they sell. So here, the idea that the Levian did not have a nachla, they had cities. And you see this at the end of the next pasuk. Again, this is something that's going to be mentioned much more later, but this is the first mention of it in Chumash. That Bate Arevim Hi Achuzasam. They don't have regular real estate, they don't have actual land that they own, rather they are cities that they are to be residing in. And again, more about this in Sefer Bamidbar. Now, we get to Sefer Bamidbar, and here the parshas in the beginning are chock full of inyanim relating to Levim. We have a lot that we can discuss, but now it's still just a bird's eye view. So Parshas Bamidbar starts with a census of all of the Shevatim, except Shevet Levi, and that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he's not to count Shevet Levi with everybody else. Achas Mate Levi Lo Sivkod V'Esroshem Lo Sisa B'Soch B'nei Yisrael. This is Pasuk Mentes. Then it goes on and says, what is the role of Shevet Levi? You shall appoint them relating to the Mishkan. Now, all of this is happening when, Rabbo said? This is an important question. Because the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar is taking place a month after Hakamas HaMishkan. Look at the pasuk in the very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. What is the date? Be'echad l'chodesh hasheni. It's a month later. So all of the counting, the census that is taking place, Shevet by Shevet, right, is all happening when? On Aleph Iyar, at least it started on Aleph Iyar. It could have gone for a little bit, but it started on Aleph Iyar. Right after that, you have this pasuk, right, this communication, again, starting in pasuk Mem Ches. Where Hashem says, do not count Shevet Levi, give them this appointment over the Mishkan Ha'edus. And the question I ask you is, when was this said? These psukim here, right? Dabashem Moshe Lemor, Aches Mate Levi Lo Sivkod, Ves Rosham Lo Sisa, V'Soch B'nei Yisrael. When was this said? Now, if you look a little further, so it says that the Levim are going to take down the Mishkan when Mishkan is in transport, and when it gets to a new location, they are to erect the Mishkan. Right? This is already mentioned in Pasuk Nun Aleph. So here's the first time that we actually see the Levim defined in terms of their role, specifically in the Mishkan. Right? Now, you see this a little further in the parasha, and this is interesting. Look at Perek Gimel, because it starts by saying, Ela todos Aaron Moshe, b'yom diber Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai, and it talks about the children of Aaron, all four, and then it talks about how Nadav and Avihu died, Bakri Mesh Zara, but it mentions the fact that they were children of Aaron, and then it goes on to say, Pasuk Hei and on, Hakrivus Mate Levi, and again highlighting the role of Shevet Levi. V'shamuas kol klei olmoed, v'nasata salvim la'aron uvanim nesunim nesunim mehimolom eis b'nei Yisrael. So I want you to notice, again, we're coming back to these psukim maybe tomorrow or the day after, the emphasis of the Levim being subservient to the Kohanim. This Aramis Ban of Tifka B'Shemes Kuhunasam V'Zalka of Yimah. So it talks about Levim in conjunction with God. It's the first time we see them juxtaposed side by side. You see how this Pesukim are reading, right? This is the first time in Parshas Bamidbar. So I'll soon come back to the Ramban on this, but I want to mention the Ibn Ezra because of the timing issue. So the Ibn Ezra writes, Peregimel, he says, Kashadibra Hashem in Moshe Bahar Sinai, Ba'aloso his kaper. When Moshe went up to Har Sinai to get atonement for Cheta Egel, Amasa Egel, Oz Nivcha Shevet Levi. That's when Shevet Levi was chosen. Ba'amar Hashem Lemoshe Hakrib Esmate Levi. This is Pasuk Vav. You see Pasuk Vav here? In Paragimel, Hakribas Mate Levi, Vahamadata Oso, Fne Aranakom, Vishersu Oso, for the Ibn Ezra, this was said during the time that Moshe was gaining Kapara for Cheta Ego. Vigam Pashas Vanihi Nego Kachti, Pasuk Yud Beis. Go back, go a few psukim ahead. Vaidabashem Moshe, another Vaidabashem Moshe Lemur. Vanihi Nego Kachti, Salvi Metoch Bene Israel. Tachas Kol Bechor, and here it tells me that originally I had the Bechorim and now I have the Levim in their stead. So the interesting thing is this. The Bechorim got disqualified by Chet HaEgel. The Levim are being told, Hashem is telling Moshe, that the Levim are being chosen and selected in lieu of the Bechorim. According to the Ibn Ezra, this was said at some point earlier. Not when it's written in not where it's written in Chumash, which is after Aleph Iyar, which is when the census took place in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. Then he says the Kasha Hukam Hamishkan Amar Hashem Bekodesh Bnei Levi, which is in the next section. So the Ibn Ezra Kedarko, he moves things around a lot. He likes to see parishes that are written where they are and they don't necessarily belong there. And that because he realizes that why should you assume that only now is when Hashem is saying to Moshe that I've chosen the Levim instead of the Bechorim. Hashem said that back when Hashem is telling Moshe, I forgive the Chet HaEgel, and now we have a new plan to replace the Bechorim with the Levim. But if you don't go with Ibn Ezra, you would assume that this section belongs where it's written, which means at the same time that they did the census, and they counted all the Shvatim. Hashem says, but Levi is counted separately. Don't count them with everybody else. And this is the role of the Levim. So the actual formality of the Levim stepping into the new role is said after HaKamas HaMishkan and Mistama, after the census of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. That would be the Pashtus. But again, leaving now the question of when the Kohanim were chosen, that's where I think we're going to have to see the Ramban. Maybe I'll do is I'll give you the Ramban already now. This is some sheets I actually have, so maybe you'll take a look with me. Take a look at the Ramban on this Pasuk. Here you go. The Ramban, there's two Rambans, one in Pasuk Aleph and one in Pasuk Gimel. Okay, you see in Pasuk Aleph, the Ramban makes it clear that there are two different points of origin. One for the chosenness of the Kohanim, or specifically Aaron Ubanav, and one for the chosenness of the Levim. So he says as follows. Elot the Ramban. V'yom diber Hashem Moshe b'har Sinai. He says, V'hizke ze loma ki v'yom diber Hashem Moshe b'har Sinai nivcharu ele l'mashcha osan. So when were Nadav and Avihu chosen for the descendants? And this is why I think what I said before is correct. It's not just them, it's even the children beyond for the next generations, because he says both together. So if we talk about the origins of the Bechira of Kohanim and the origins of the Bechira of the Levian, for the Ramban, it seems obvious, from the Ramban saying more or less in the Furish here, that the Kohanim were chosen from Har Sinai from back when, and before Hakamas HaMishkan. That's already the plan, that the Aaron Ubanav would be serving and their children as well. And here is when the rest of the Shevet was chosen. This is in Pasuk Aleph, and the Ramban echoes that again in Pasuk Gimel. What does he say if you follow me in Pasuk Gimel? Actually, Perek, I'm sorry, it's Pasuk Yudalid. I'm sorry, Pasuk Yudalid in the Ramban. Okay. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe bin Bar Sinai, this is when Hashem is saying to count Bnei Levi from 1 month and up. It says, Bimidbar Sinai, says the Ramban as follows. Bavor Shehizkir B'yom Dibar Hashem Es Moshe Bahar Sinai, Chaz V'omar Ki Lhoisa Tzavas HaPkidosh HaLevim Bahar Sinai. The Tzavas HaPkida of Levim was not in Har Sinai, Ki Bechiras Todos Bnei Aaron Levad HaMoisa Bahar Sinai B'yom Tzavoso HaMoisa HaMishkan. What the Ramban is trying to emphasize is as follows. Har Sinai is Moshe Rabbeinu up on the mountain. Midbar Sinai is Hakamas HaMishkan down below. The Levim's chosenness, and now the counting of the Levim from Ben Chodesh and up, all that is connecting to the Bechiras HaLevim, which was post Hakamas HaMishkan. And the chosen of the Kohanim was back when Hashem commanded for the Tzivoy HaMishkan. And this is Mamish Ramban L'shitaso. Understand, the Ramban L'shitaso, as I pointed out, holds that Truma Tetzaveh were given Kiseder, right after the Maimed Hasina, where it's written in Chumash. After Moshe goes up the mountain, Parshas Mishpatim at the end, that's when the Tzivoy HaMlechus HaMishkan was given. So already Aaron Ubanav were chosen. So it's only Shevet Levi that was chosen here in Midbar Sinai. This is the Ramban's way. And the Ramban is Medayik in the Lashon HaPesukim as well. That's the Midbar Sinai and the Bahar Sinai. Those are the two Rambans. Rashi, on the other hand, who holds that the Truma Tetzaveh came afterwards, doesn't have to agree with this. Rashi could hold that the Bechira of the Kohanim and Levim actually did come simultaneously. More or less. Now you have to know this. There's the Shevet Simei Miluyim preceding Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There's the census of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. This takes us to Parshas Bahaloscha. This is also very interesting. Look at Parshas Bahaloscha. Now, I'm skipping over Nassau for now because Nassau is going to talk a little bit more about the specific things that were done by the families of the Levim. But now I'm speaking in general terms about the Bechira of the Levim. Yeah.
So would the Rashi and Ramban both agree that the Levim were replacements of the Bechorah?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. That's Mefurish and Psukim. Look at the Pasuk and Bahaloscha together with me. We'll see it right now. So right after the tzivui of the Hadlokas HaMenorah. So we have this parsha. Now it's interesting because the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach places this parsha on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, even though the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar was Rosh Chodesh Iyar. But we know that there are things in Sefer Bamidbar that are out of order. The Gemara talks about the tzivui of building bringing the Karban Pesach, which was set on Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the first year. They're going to bring this anniversary of the first Karban Pesach, then to bring on Yud Daled Nisan of the second year. So that was obviously said before the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. So here too, it says as follows: Kaches Halavim mitoch bnei Yisrael v'tiharta osan. And now there's a whole initiation, right? You could call this the equivalent, maybe, of the initiation of Aaron Ubanav that we had in terms of the Miluyim, but it's a very different type of a procedure here. And they have to be shaved completely and have to be sprinkled with mechatas, with raduma ash. And they're going to bring karbanos, a par ben bakar with a mincha, and a par sheni ben bakar for a chatas. And then it says that they're going to be waved. Bnei Yisrael are going to put their hands on them. And Aaron literally has to wave the 22,000 Levim. These are the Levim from age, those that are counted from age 30. Those who are Avoda. There's the counting from Ben Chodesh, which is in Parshas Bamidbar. Then we had, beginning at the end of Bamidbar through Parshas Naso, the beginning, we had the counting of the Levim. Actually, no, I'm Let me see if I'm making the right cheshbon here. The 22,000 yeah, let's see. How's it come out? The Pikudei B'nei Kahas were 2,750, and the B'nei Gershon were 3,000. No, I'm talking about actually. No, so I stand corrected. We're talking about the 22,000 are the we find in Parshas Bamidbar. Yeah, Parshas Bamidbar. There were the 22,000, and there was 273 that were extra b'chorim. Right, so these are the levim that are being waived by Aaron. Okay, the 22,000 in one day. That's what I think. Double check it. But that's what it says over here, that they'd be waived. And the pasuk says as follows: pasuk tazayin, ki nisunim nisunim heim ali. Mitoch bnei Yisrael, tachas pitras kol rechem, b'chor kol mitzvah, kach dios amli. Ki licho b'chor b'bnei Yisrael, b'dam v'abehema, b'yom. So this is stressing, v'ekach es halavim, tachas kol b'chor b'bnei Yisrael. Rashi says, look at the Rashi, Pasuk Yud Zayin, sheli hoya b'choros, sheigan, and then it says, look, kach dios amli, ad she tol b'egel, v'achshav, v'ekach es halavim. So this is Mefurish and Parshas Baloscha, that the Levim were the replacements for the Bechorim. This is the section, the beginning of Baloscha. Then you have the age of the Levim at 50, they retire, and there's a whole question what happens at that point. Maybe we'll discuss tomorrow a little bit the specifics of the Avodas HaLevim, but it says that they don't do Avod anymore, but there are different Avodas that they did. The show is what happens at 50. So we'll discuss that separately. Let's go through a few more psukim in Chumash. Okay, we'll see how much we can do here. Parshas Korach is a big parsha relating to this topic. Let me mention one thing already now. It's Kedai already mentioning it. We noticed before in Machlokas, who brought the Karbanos at Matan Torah? Nari B'nai Yisrael, who are they? Rashi. So Rashi quotes Bechorim. Other opinions say it was Nedav and Aviv. So the Mizrahi on Rashi, he says something interesting. On that Pasuk in Kisis and also by Midbar, he wants to say that the opinion that holds that it was Nedav and Aviv is because since Hashem knew the future, he knew that there's going to be a Chet HaEgel and the Bechorim are going to be disqualified, he did not want the Karbanos brought and Matan Torah to be through the Bechorim. So people should not say, post facto, after Chet HaEgel, look, those Bechorim brought the Karbanos at Har Sinai, and they're the same ones who brought Karbanos to the Egel. That's a very big G'nai. So because Hashem knew what the appearances could be eventually if the Bechorim would bring it, that's why he didn't want the Bechorim to bring it, even though it was before the Chet HaEgel. This is how he wants to say. And other Mefarshim disagree. And then he said, how come Rashi, therefore, says it was Bechorim, Chorim Rashi Yishitaso should have gone with the Shita that it was the Nadav and Avil, because if the Bechorim were the ones who lost, you know, who disqualified Bechet HaEgel, they were immediately, could not have even been bringing the Karbanos before that, because Hashem knew the future. This is what the Mizrahi says. The Maral disagrees. The Maral says that no, even though there was a Chet HaEgel eventually, but right now the disqualification did not take effect. It was only Negea for the Avodas HaMishkan. The Avodas HaMishkan. This is not Avodas HaMishkan. Now, Rashi's lashon was, let's understand. According to Rashi, we're saying that the Bechir of the Kohanim is connecting to the fact that there's disqualification of the Bechorim. Not like the Ramban, that the Kohanim already chosen. So, at what point did the Kohanim become qualified to serve? Was it immediately? It's mashma, the Mishkan is Vachim. It's only for the Mishkan. Achukam a Mishkan, that vodu was Bechorim. So the official transfer of the koach to do avoda was by the, for the mishkan. But the chinuch for it, that was already the Maisa HaEgel, when they stepped up and Smil Hashem Elai. That's how you have to learn it if you don't go like the Mizrahi. In other words, the initiation for it was before, but the formality of it came now with the Mishkan.
What would people say according to the Mizrahi?
According to the Mizrahi, people are going to say the Chorim brought Olos to the Egel, and they're the ones that brought Olos to Matan Torah. Even the Matan Torah came first, so it doesn't look nice. So therefore, he says that's the sheet that the Nair Bnei Yisrael were not the Bechorim. And the sheet of that, yeah. Okay. Parshas Korach is very, very much tied into the entire topic. Because you have Korach, who came from the family of Kohath, which is one of the three families of Levi. We'll see maybe tomorrow more specifically the avodos of the specific families of Levi, and by extension, beyond the Mishkan for Doros, and we'll talk about that more specifically. But you have the challenge of Korach, which was mostly against Aaron, but you see that he was doing a few things. He got together different groups. See, on one level, Korach was tying as a Levi, I want more. I want to be Kohen, I want to be Kohen Gadol. He didn't like the fact that he was just a Levi, a plain old Levi. But he also brought together 250 people, and according to the Mefarshim of the Chumash, they were the Bechorim. So what you have going on is different people challenging Moshe for different things. They were not consistent with each other. See, the Machokas of Korach consisted of Levim wanting Kahuna, and also consisted of Bechorim wanting what they lost, with Chata Egel. He uses an argument that he sort of was the gel that brought everybody together. The common denominator is that they were going to rebel and challenge Moshe's authority to make decisions about who's who. But really, Moshe Rabbeinu was exposing Korach for Vikashtem Gan Kahuna, Rav Lechem B'nei Levi. You have what you have. But this is part of what's going on in the beginning of the story. Now, after in the aftermath of the swelling up of Dathan Aviram and Korach, there's still murmurs. And what are those murmurs about? The murmurs were, Atem Hamitem is Am Hashem. Now, some of Farshim learn, it means that you're challenging, you killed the Bechorim. Those 250 were Bechorim, and they meant L'shem Shemayim. So what happens? There's a Magefa that breaks out. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron to go bring Torah, and that stops the Magefa. And then Hashem tells Moshe in the middle of Parshas Korach, Chamishi, to take a staff from every Shevet with the name of the Nasi of the Shevet on it. And Aaron's name should be on the staff corresponding to Shevet Levi. And you put them in Omoed, and you'll see that that staff is going to become, it's going to sprout. And Moshe does that. Now, there's a lot here to figure out. What is the symbol of the sprouting of Mati Aaron Lebeis Levi? Is it to emphasize Kahuna? Is it to emphasize Leviah? What is the message that's being conveyed through the sprouting of the Matah in Parshas Korach? Okay? That's something I want to come back to with the Maral in just a few minutes. This is right before Shishi. Okay? So take note of that. What else you have in Parshas Korach is reiterating much of the uniqueness of Shevet Levi and also that of the Kahuna. This is like a reaffirmation with a Bris Melach, and that a lot of halachas that we're going to see from Gemaras and Erechin are all rooted in Psukim over here. So look in Perek Yud Ches, after the storyline of Parshas Korach, you have halachos. So Hashem says to Aaron, you and your family, and your father's house, you will bear the Avon HaMikdash and Avon Kohonaschem, and then you have your fellow Shevet. This is where we really see the connection between Kohun and Leviah being played out. Everyone has their special role. There's a Kohanim and there's a Leviah. Achecha Matei Levi, being Pasuk Beis over there, Shevet Avicha Hakrev Itach. V'yilavu Lecha B'Shar Sucha. Now, there's all kinds of details which we haven't yet discussed. What are the roles of the Kohanim and the Leviim? Kohanim, we know more or less what their role is in terms of the Avodas HaMikdash. What exactly were the different roles of the Leviim? We'll see in detail. The Shomu Mishmaratach Mishmaris Kol HaOel, but what can't they do? Akle HaKodesh V'Mizbech Lo Yikravu. They can't come to the Kli HaKodesh. You see, it's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Bamidbar, that when they had to transport the Mishkan, who would actually disassemble, get things ready before the Bnei Kos came to carry the Kli HaKodesh? The Kohanim would cover everything, and then the Bnei Kos would come in. So here it says too, Lo Yikravu, V'lo Yamusu Gam Him Gam Atem, these halachas, that everyone has to have their role, the Kohanim have their role, the Levim have their role. The Nilvu Alecha, a lot of extra psukim, but every pasuk is halachas. U'shmartim, so you see what's going on in these psukim here, in Perek Yudches, very much relevant to what are the roles of Kohanim and Levim. Look at pasuk Vav here. V'ani hinei lakachti zachechem ha-Levim mitoch bnei Yisrael, lachem matanin esunim la-Shem, lav levodet tavod zomod. So the Levim have avoda and the Kohanim have avoda. So we had a little bit in Parshas Baloscha, a little bit in Parshas Bamidbar, and Korach. And of course, Naso as well. Okay. Then it goes through the specific Matnos Kohuna. That's the next part, which is for Aaron himself. The Kohanim have special privileges of Matnos Kohuna. That's the rest of Perek Yudches. At the end, we have Maiser. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Levnei Levi, they get Maiser Rishon. Why do they get Maiser? Chelef Avodasa Mashiachim Ovdim Sabodas Olamoi. Look at the Rashi. No Rashi on this. Well, Rashi's in a different place. Okay. No, there was a Rashi in a different place about it. That they get the Maaser in lieu of their Avoda, and then it goes on to say, V'avad HaLevi, who is Avoda Salmoi, the Levi does his Avoda, and then it goes, at the end of the parasha, tell me that the Levim have to give from their Maaser, Chumas Maaser, Maaser Min HaMaaser to the Kohen. So again, the second half of Parshas Korach is Kol Kulo, Kohuna Levi. If you want a parasha to talk about this topic for a long time, this is a parasha. The storyline, the beginning, and then the halachos spelled out at the end. Okay. A few more places in Chumash to sum up. Parshas Maaseh fleshes out the Arei Halaviyim. We talked about Arei Halaviyim. They don't have the Onachala, so they have their cities. Where did they come from? Who gives it to them? Look at the end of Parshas Maaseh. Lamed Hey, at Chamishi of Masay, Sabbath Bnei Israel, Vinasnu Lalaviyah, Minachas Achuzasim, Orim Lashavas. They are to give them cities to dwell, and there's a whole urban planning that has to do with it. There had to be a migrash around it, how much is left, open area. These are the cities that you're giving them. The Sheish Ari Mikud, who also Ari Levi'im, and then an additional 42. The Gemara and Marcus talks about the difference between the nature of the Ari Mikud of the 42 and the 6, but the Ari Levi'im were also Ari Mikud, and then you have the six Ari Mikud. But the total of how many cities were given to the Levi'im? A total of 48. Pasuk Zion, Kol Harim Shedin the Levi'im, Arvoy Mishmona Ir. So how many cities throughout Eretz Yisrael were the Levi'im cities? Pashas Maaseh, 48. Okay. Parshas Ekev, an important pasuk to highlight. Perek Tes, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a speech, and in the middle of the speech, he highlights the Havdalah of Shevet Levi, pasuk Ches and pasuk Tes. He's talking about Chet Ha'egel, and he says, Perek Tes, pasuk Ches and Tes. No. Where's that pasuk? No, it's later. It's Perek Yud. Sorry, I made a mistake. It's Perek Yud. I wrote Perek Tes. He's talking about Chet Egel and the new Luchos, and then it says now. This is an important Indian that we'll see if we get to talk about this. Carrying the Aram. Whose mitzvah was carrying the Aram? In the Midbar, it's clear who carried the Aram. Who carried the Aram in the Midbar?
The Kohas
from Shevet Levi. The question is Gedoros who carried the Aram, because Kohanim are also from Shevet Levi, and did the Kohanim ever have a role to carry the Aram? That's the question, and by what virtue? So, and the Levim, did they have a mitzvah Gedoros to carry the Aram? Did they get switched? Chokas Rambam and the Ramban. We'll have to see if we talk about it or not. Hivdus from Mishivat Alevi, Lassar Mishim, Ramzin, Mishar, Sovarach, Mishmar, Yamazet. Now, obviously, this pasuk is merging together to some extent Kohanim as well, because Lishar, Sovarach, Mishmo has to do with Duchening, right? Not Levian don't Duchen, the Kohanim Duchen. It says, Hivdus from Mishivat Alevi. Continues the next pasuk. Al Kain, Lahayu Levi, Chek, Nachal, Nechav, Hashem, Nachal, Lassam. Therefore, the Levi did not have their own Nachala. Now, Rashi is important, Rashi here. Okay, so this is the pasuk in Parshas Eket. Parshas Re'ei has a couple of references to the Levian. Yud Beis, talking about bringing things to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Mishkan. Who will we be rejoicing with you? Atem uvnechem uvnosechem v'amdechem v'amosechem, and don't forget him. See it, pasuk Yud Beis. Alevi Hashem b'sharechem k'em uchek v'nachal itchem. So the Levi has to share with you. He doesn't have his own nachala. That's pasuk Yud Beis. Look at pasuk Yud Tes. Get talking about eating meat. And it says, you eat it lefnei Hashem as a carbon. Who will enjoy it? And don't abandon the Levi either. Koy mechal ad masach. Perek Yud Dalet. V'halevi Hashem b'sharecha lo sazvenu. And again, the idea not to abandon the Levi is by Ma'aseh Sheni. Ke'en lecha genachala imach. Right. And then it goes on after that. Consistently, the Torah emphasizes that Levi doesn't have a nachala, and he has to enjoy what you have together with you. Look at the Yamim Tovim. Right? We read this the last day of Shavuos. Perek Tezayin at the end of Parshas Ve'ei. Twice. By Shavuos, it says, V'samachta of Nisham Elkecha, who's going to be happy with you? You, your family, your son, your daughter, your avdecha mesacha, v'halevi Hashem b'sharecha. And again, with Sukkot as well, a few psukim later, v'halevi. So what do you see in the psukim? That the Torah highlights the fact that the Levi did not have a nachla, and he's to enjoy with you. Parshas Shoftim, Perek Yud Ches, important couple of psukim here as well. Aleph through Ches, notice. L'ayya l'akonim ha'levim, kol shev l'ev nachachek v'nachlam Yisrael. Lakonim Halavim will not Koshevet Levi will not have Nachala. Then it says that there is a halacha that the Kohen can get certain additional matnas kuna that are not yet mentioned explicitly, Ruach HaMekeva. And then it says further, Bachiyavu Halevi, a Levi can come and serve anytime he wants. Now here Chazal interpret this going on in Kohen. Bachiyavu Halevi Miachat Sharecha Uva Bachor Nafshach V'Sheves V'Shem Hashem Elokav. So you have to know what exactly is being said here. What is this? So according to Rashi quotes, it's going on Kohanim, even though it says Levi. Okay, so keep that in mind. Parshas Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, the last day of his life, takes a Sefer Torah, and it says here, Lamed Aleph Chafei Chavav, and he gives it to, look, he tells the, he says, where am I? Actually, it's before. Again, I think I give you the wrong parak, okay? Yeah, here it is. In Lamed Aleph Tes. I know, right? I wrote Chafei Chavav. Okay, I made a typo here. V'yichta Moshe Satoras, V'yichta Kohen B'nei Levi, no Sim 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 Hashem. He gives it to the Kohen B'nei Levi. Okay, so this is Pasuk Tes Yud. And then you have Zos HaBracha, highlighting the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu to Shevet Levi. And again, what is his tribute? He never sinned. The Masa, he was not part of the Chet there. And he was able to stand up even to his own family. Kishamu Imrasecha. for me. If you give me 5 minutes, I'll just try to give you a little bit, and we'll end and try to, you know, leave the second part of the sheet, second half for tomorrow. The inyan of Havdalah Shevet Levi. The Gemara in Pesachim, Avi Pesachim, says Nusach of Havdalah. We say three Havdalahs. Mekodesh Chol, Mekodesh Yisrael, Amen. And then Yom HaShoah Yamasa, which is like the Chasima. You could say up to seven. The Gemara gives additional ones. And the Gemara says, you have as follows. Ben Kohanim Levim v'Yisma'elim. Then the Gemara explains that actually counts as two. The Gemara says, Ben Levim Kohanim v'Yisma'elim Tre Milininu. Ben Levim Yisma'elim D'Siv Ba'esahi Hivdo Shem Siv Ha'Levi. There's Havdalah of Levi and Havdalah of Kohanim from Levim. Gemara in Pesachim. Look at your sheets, the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, very famous words of the Rambam. It's the back of your sheets, the Bechiras Kohanim v'Levim. He says that, yeah, that it goes back even before we thought. Yaakov Avinu already, Hivdil Levi. He was destined for greatness. Mino Rosh Hashit Rosh, Voshiva be Yeshiva, Vitsiva as Banav, so we have Siko Mibne Levi, Mimuna Acha Mimuna, Deshacha Halimud. And then he says, in Mitzrayim, everyone assimilated, Chutz Vishavit Levi, Sha'amad, Vimitzvus Avos, Ome Omo Shavish Ulavat, Shavit Levi Zar. So that means to say that Shavit Levi was pure. They were innocent, they were untainted, and they already had that special designation from Yaakov Avinu's time. They're in Midrashim like this, but the Rambam makes it clear, Lushono Hazav. The Rambam famously says in Shemitah V'Yovel, the last Mar Mokum on the sheet, that this is true for everybody. Anyone in the world that wants to elevate themselves and separate from the natural distractions and commitments that have to do with mundane pursuits and just become totally devoted to Avodas HaKodesh can become so, and Hashem will be his inheritance and he'll get all that he needs, just like Kohanim and Levim. That's the famous Rambam. Now, just to end like this, there's two Rambams I want you to notice without comment right now, but just notice the difference in the Lashonos. Peragim Halacha Aleph says like this, Zera Levi kuo muvdal avodas hamigdash. Shenemar ba'esahi v'dishem shevet Levi. Shevet Zera Levi is muvdal avodas hamigdash. In Perek Dalet, hakohanim huvdalu michlal halavim avodas hakarbanos. Think about the following question: the relationship between the nature of the havdalah of Shevet Levi and the nature of the havdalah of the kohanim. To what extent do you view the Havdalah of one as somehow related and a function or derivative of the other? We notice, for example, for Rashi and the Ramban, going back to the origins of the issue, that for Rashi it could very well be that both somehow derive from the Psula of the Bechorim, even though there may have been some designation already from Yaakov Avinu, but in a formal sense, the Psula of the Bechorim already brought with it that the Levim would take over, and with the Levim, the Kohanim as well. So you could see that as coming together, Ban Ke'echad. But the Ramban, on the other hand, we saw Kohuna as being something that came first. There is a question, Shat and Parshas Korach. What exactly, let's say, for example, the staff of Aaron, what was it coming to prove? The Pasuk says that after they took the staff of Aaron, which had sprouted, Hashem says, take that staff, everyone took their stick, and then Hashem said, take Aaron's mata and put it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim next to the Aaron. That's one of the things that had to be. The mata Aaron had to be in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hashem is mata Aaron fnei ha'edus, l'mishmeres l'os l'bnei Mary, u'schal tulunosa me'alai v'lo yamusa. L'mishmeres l'os, Rashi says, what os is it? L'zikaron shebacharti ba'aron ha-kohen. V'lo yorinu od ala kohuna. So Rashi learns that the mati aron etzpravid is a sign that I chose Aaron. What's the question you can ask here? L'chera, all you should be able to prove from this is it the sign that I chose what? Levi. This is a kasha d'Ramban on Rashi. So I'm going to just give this out. We can look at it tomorrow. There's a very interesting piece of Maral on this in a few places. In Gur Aryeh and a few places. So we'll start with this tomorrow, Nef Hashem. And then we'll go to the specifics about the different roles of the families of Levi, Gersh and Kasim Barari, Mamish and Yonah Dioma that we're doing. And then the specific issues relating to if you want to switch and do a different role of Levia and what the implications of that are. There's Mishorer, there's a Mishorer, there's Shmira, and how does that relate also to Kohanim? There's a lot of lumbis in this. He's like Sugyas and Erechim. We'll see if we can also talk about the question of the Aaron, who carried the Aaron. There's a lot here. It's a little bit on the back of the Mamakomos, the second sheet that I gave you. But this is more like an overview today, just to get oriented with Chumash, just to know where you find things. What are the main psukim to notice? And then, of course, we'll get to this again and get them eventually. Okay? Good, Yom, yeah.
Just a couple of questions. Can you please repeat what we were saying earlier for Ibn Ezra?
Ibn Ezra says that two of the psukim in the Midbar, at least two of them, two of the communications that Hashem says that I've chosen the Levim, they were not said where they're written. They were said to Moshe Har Sinai. What now? Not the same as Ramban. The Ramban's Har Sinai was before Chet HaEgel. The Ibn Ezra is talking about Har Sinai after Chet HaEgel. But the difference is it's not now. It's not after Kamas HaMishkan. As part of the Moshe Rabbeinu getting Kapar V'Chet HaEgel, Hashem already told Moshe at that point that I'm taking the Levim in place of the Bechorim. The Parshat Pshat is that these psukim are written where they are. And the Ramban says Mefurish that the Shar HaShevet was Nifchar now. And Kohanim were Nifchar when Moshe Rabbeinu was at Har Sinai way back when, before Chet HaEgel even.
Seemingly the Bechorim didn't have this chilek of Kohanim and Levim, so why, according to Rashi, right, would there be that chilek later? The Bechorim seemed like one unit. So then
they were one. The idea of having Levian, Levi was obviously some unique thing that you see from the Rambam already from way back when. But they had to actually actualize that potential. And that was through them when they stepped up at Chet HaEgel, and they stepped up, and now the formality of it is happening in Parshas Bamidbar and Balosra. The Bechorim lost their status in the wake of Chet HaEgel. It could be that technically they could still do Avoda until the Mishkan. That's the Lashon HaMishnah and Tzvachim. Ad Shalukam HaMishkan, the Avoda was Bechorim. There is an opinion against that Mishnah, I think Mark quotes in Tzvachim, that the Karbanos brought by Hasina were not the Bechorim. Okay, but Lemaisa, if you hold like the Mishnah and Tzvachim, so it could be that technically the disqualification was already Chal Binogeir the Mishkan from the Chet HaEgel. That's how the Maral learns in the Gur Aryeh. In other words, that the Tzul to be over in the Mishkan was a result of Chet HaEgel. But the Tzul was not to be able to serve in the Mishkan. So that could be also how you learn it. Either way, though, the formal initiation of the Levim is only happening with Hakamas HaMishkan. The Chinuch for what the Levim would be doing. And again, for Rashi, that would include the Kohanim. For the Ramban, I think the Kohanim were already separated from before. But the initiation for that would be with the Maisa of Milash HaMelai.
Why did the Bechorim have a Havdalah?
No, they weren't a Havdalah. It was Hashem chose, because when Hashem struck the Bechorim of Mitzrayim and saved Klal Yisrael's Bechorim, that's when Hashem Kadosh Bechor Lihu. That was the Bechorim being taken by Kadosh Baruch Hu as a special status before him because of the Makas Bechoros. That's it. There's no Abdullah, just the Halach itself.
And then once they were done, then we did Abdullah?
Abdullah of the Levim, yeah.
What were the two? Is it Abdullah? There were two Abdullahs. Negamar Mesachim.
That's Mesachim. Abdullah of Levim and Abdullah of Aaron Ubanah.
What's the Abdullah within the Levim?
Havdalah the Levim is that they moved up from Kvest of Kari Yisrael. Hiddush was David HaLevi.
Is the Vedel Levim where Meshuvah and Mitzrayim, does that relate only to Yaakov?
That's correct. I think that the fact that you see already that there were certain privileges that they had from before obviously speaks in some way to the fact that they already were destined for greatness. But the way that it actually played out had to do with the Chet HaEgel and then the Mishkan and then the formality of the switch, and that's what you see. But there's already an undercurrent of it from before. From the Rambam you see that, from Midrashim you see that they didn't serve in Mitzrayim and Avodas Perach. And you see that, and the Rambam says they didn't do Avodah Zarah and they didn't assimilate, and Yaakovin already gave Levi the special role. But the way that it played out was through the Chet HaEgel, that they weren't part of it, and they responded to Moshe's call. And then you have the actual procedure, and you have in the initiation takes place in Baroscha, which again was the process of being initiated into the Avodah. But their Avodah is distinct, and we'll see tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, the specific Avodahs of Gersh and Kas and Rari, and then how it works out in the Mishkan, how it works out with Doros, maybe the issue of the Nesias HaAron, and then the issue of Mishorah and Shorah, if they want to cross over their lines and do other Avodahs, it's Sugyas Aruchas and Erechin, Shver Rambams on this, the whole Inyan, and how that would play out for Kohanim. It's a very interesting question, whether the same basic outline in terms of defining the roles of what they may or may not do, is it true by Kohanim as by Levim, or is there a different template by Kohanim than by Levim? The Biskarav on this, maybe I'll make copies for you. We can see some of it inside if it works out. Okay, yeah.
And sorry, just two more questions. In Parshas Matzah, Rebbe, we said that the Levim had 48 cities. So why were the cities of the Levim also the Ari Mikvah?
So that's a good question. That's good for us to think about why Hashem wanted the cities to be Ari Mikvah. Yeah.
Okay. And then the second thing was why in Parshas Korach after the Megifa, like to stop the Megifa, arm brother in Taurus, why was that the remedy?
The Rashi says that the people shouldn't think this like Taurus had a bad effect at the beginning of the Parsha, and that the 250 Bechorim died with Taurus, so Hashem wanted to show that Taurus has the potential to also bring life, keep life alive, in other words. So that's a Rashi quotes like that. Chumash Rashi is the best thing, we'll say. Chumash Rashi gives you the basics. Then you can go and appreciate everything on a whole other level. You know, Chumash Rashi. Chavetz Chaim used to say, I heard this years ago from Adam Chashub, you can ask for Shanayim, you take your Chumash with you. You know my book. Everything else is also good. Very good. But you have to start with the basics. So that's what we tried to do today. Okay, have a wonderful day.